introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it
this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we're back. We got the full crew here for you, and we got a pretty packed show, so we're going to get this thing going right away. QB1, you're back. How's it going, man? How you been?
Everything good, man. You know, use the bye week to recharge the battery, but I'm ready to go now.
Yes, sir. Ready for the backstretch. Miles. You've been traveling, you've been busy, a lot going on for you, man. Good to have you back. How you been?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just been really busy, but I'm good.
Good. Busy's good. Busy's good.
It can be, yeah.
Saxy Prince, my man, out here spending money like you printed. Buy anything cool over the bye week?
I did, man. I got AirPods, and I'm currently using them right now. They are a very, very good purchase, in my opinion.
Oh. You fancy.
Yeah, fancy. Fancy.
Hey, man, as Kelly Campbell would always say, it is what it is, man.
So, Prince, we'll start with you before we get into, like, I guess the, you know, like the substance of the show, if there is really a lot of that on the show. What did you do over the bye week?
Yeah, I got a lot of just, like, errand-type stuff done. A lot of, like, some of the side hustles that I enjoy doing, like I could put a little bit more time into those that I haven't really been able to do over the last couple of weeks, you know, just playing more music. On Sunday, I got an opportunity to kind of reprise my role as Nick from Theater People. It was a fantastic time, and it happened on Sunday, you know, during when the Vikings would have played. So it kind of worked out really well. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in always having five hustles in your life. I have four, and I'm looking forward for fifth one. So, oh, yeah.
Basically means if you get an email from Prince, just delete that right away. Send it to spam. You don't want to be part of that hustle. Miles, how about you? Bye week, what you do?
I've just been working. Got a lot of stuff planning for 2019 for work. So that's all I've been doing.
Damn. All right. You sound so down when you're saying that. How's Teddy look? You know, try to bring you back up.
Teddy's good. Teddy's just very... Teddy's an impatient dog. He also really likes to play a lot and likes attention. So there's that.
Okay, so no rest for the weary.
But he's good. No, not so much rest as of late, but it's all right. I'm hoping I got some days off next week, so I'll be able to recharge then.
Cool. And JR, you mentioned you got to recharge a little bit. What you do over the bye week?
Actually got to type up some scouting reports for the 2019 draft. And I actually finished Ozark season 2.
Well, man, who is this guy? JR, watching TV shows? Like,
hey,
Game of Thrones doesn't change you. Are you gonna?
Yeah.
The real question is, are you gonna watch Game of Thrones week by week with the rest of us when it comes on in April?
Absolutely. I felt left out the last time I couldn't.
Oh man, this is gonna be. We might have to have like a companion pod for Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, get that going. Man, I love Game of Thrones.
Yes, sir. And Saxy Prince, I'm a little disappointed in you right now because you talked about Theater People.
Isn't that always the case, though?
I mean, you talked about Theater People, and you know. I mean, that was your opportunity right there. But since Saxy Prince forgot or is being humble or bashful or something, I'm going to let y'all know that the Theater People, they need your donations. We're going to put the link in the show notes. Prince has tweeted it earlier this week. I'm sure he'll tweet it again today. But go on, especially if we'll still be going on tomorrow, Prince, or is it just, you know, tonight while we record?
Today is the official gift to the max day. If you go to my Twitter feed, well, probably, I mean, by the time people listen to it, it might be, you know, the next day, but I mean,
we'll get this posted on Thursday. It'll go up on Thursday.
Yeah. So basically what I've been doing, and I probably need to do it actually during the pod, is every hour. So we recorded 24, 25 little skits. They're like one or two. They're like 1.5 to 2 minutes, 3 minutes long or whatever, kind of like mini-sodes. and they're releasing every hour. So everyone who's been part of the Theater People community for the last four seasons, we're going to be part of this. I was briefly on, I think, episode three right away. I was playing some sax or whatever, so you get to see me there. And then I think the probably four or five episodes ago, episode maybe 14, I think, or 15 or something like that, you get to see me again as Nick in that episode. So, yeah, go check it out. They drop every hour on the hour. And, yeah, I've been kind of tweeting it out as it comes out. So, yeah.
All right, then. So, yeah, support the man, Saxy Prince. Support the cause. Keep the arts going and all that good stuff. And, okay, well, I guess that's all we're going to say about that. And let's jump into a little bit of football talk. JR, Miles, start with you guys because, you know, Prince and I covered a lot of this stuff last week while y'all, you know, abandoned us. So we're going to get your take on some of these things here. And Vikings are coming out of the bye. We're going down the back stretch now. And, JR, what are you really hoping to see from this team as, you know, they make their march towards what we all are hoping will be a comfortable berth in the playoffs?
Well, I want to see the offense find a way to generate some more explosive plays. And I think that's going to help with Dalvin Cook being back because we all know in his first game back last week or against the Lions a couple weeks ago, the first few touches he had were they weren't so great, but then he reels off that 70-yard run. So I think with him being back and just the threat of him being out there is going to help the guys out on the perimeter as well. And also, he can receive the ball out the backfield as well. We know he's a home run hitter. So they have to find a way to generate some type of explosive plays because all year we've been nickel and diming down the field in hopes of putting those 10-plus play drives together. And that's just not sustainable. And what we saw last year is that the offense was much more explosive. So they have to find a way to generate some explosive plays. That's something that I'll be watching, monitoring, or I'll be monitoring closely.
Yeah, and that's something that you know, a lot of fans, I think all of us throughout the course of the season, have kind of been lamenting the fact that the offense, for all of the yardage that we're putting off, is a lot of it's really just volume based. They pass more, so we're putting up more passing yardage. For you, let's say you get to come in and they're saying, JR, you get to help us design our offense for the back half of the season. What kind of concepts are you putting in? What kind of, I guess, different sorts of play designs might you be rolling out there? Obviously, you mentioned, you know, get the ball to Dalvin Cook because, you know, he's special with the ball in his hand. But outside of, you know, just getting it to Dalvin, are there any things the Vikings can do differently to maybe open up some more of those shot plays down the field that we became accustomed to seeing, you know, in the past couple of seasons?
Well, I think Flip is doing a great job of actually designing the plays. He's just not getting the opportunity to run them because of just how tight the games have been in certain situations. And there hadn't been a lot of sudden changes within games to where he can really time those shot plays. And a lot of other times is Kirk Cousins just taking chances down the field, which is something we saw Case Keenum do a bit more of. And that's not to say Kirk Cousins isn't taking those chances down the field. It's just not as much or as rapidly as Case Keenum was. So it's just Kirk Cousins having more faith in those guys down the field. And a lot of it is Flip not having the confidence in those guys up front to hold up, to throw those plays down, those shot plays down the field as well. So I would like to see him take more chances down the field. And I think he's going to get some more timing within games to take those shot plays down the field as well.
Awesome. And then I guess the last question, because it's something that's come up a lot, and Vikings fans, if you kind of just, you know, starting to see some of the conversations, they've been ongoing. There's been a rumble for a little while, but fans don't really seem to know what to make of DeFilippo at this point. From your perspective, from what you've seen, obviously having played quarterback, watching the film on all these games, how much of what fans are worried or concerned about is the play design, which would be Flip, and then how much of it is, you know, Kirk Cousins and the execution and maybe not, or the offensive line not holding up or whatever it might be? Like, from your perspective, how much is on Flip and how much is on the players?
I think it's a combination of both, and there's been so many moving parts this year. It's going to take a while for them to develop that chemistry because Flip and Kirk Cousins have never worked together. This is their first year, and they're obviously implementing a new offense as well with a lot of moving parts or different parts up front as well. So they're still working out that chemistry, but like I said, I would like to see them find a way to generate some more explosive plays down the field because if they're able to do that,
I think that will open up the passing game even more, not only in the deep parts of the field, but if you're able to have that threat of going down the field, I think that opens up not only the running game, but your passing game in the intermediate and short areas as well, because you're threatening those teams deep, and they're going to try to keep everything in front of them.
Okay, and Miles, same question for you, obviously. You weren't here last week, so need to get your thoughts on kind of the back stretch of the season and kind of what you're looking for, what you hope to see outside of obviously more explosive players, because JR took that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it in a little different direction. I as a team and as a whole, I want to see them reclaim that home field advantage. And I think, what did they lose? They've lost two games at home this year so far, and they have three left. So that's a big thing for me. I think they need to get that back, because they have three games left at home, seven games total. And for me, I think they need to go 5-2 down the stretch, no matter how that 5-2 occurs. I just think that's what they need to do to get to where they want to be in terms of by the end of the season. That's where I think the record should be. It doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs if they don't do that, but that's a big part of it for me, is solidifying, just being better at home than what we see them be. Kirk Cousins hasn't played as well at US Bank Stadium as we'd like him to. And I think week one, he played really well. But then after that, I feel like there's been a little bit of a dip in play at home. And we've seen him play well on the road. So that's a good thing. So that, you have four games left on the road. Some big ones, obviously the one in Chicago, New England, and Seattle. Those are three really big games on the road that I think we know that they need at least win two of them. And so I just want to see a little bit of that. I just want to see a little bit more consistency at home. I want to see them kind of sweep the rest of the way around at home. And then, like you guys have touched on, is on the offense, is more explosive plays. And what I want to see with a healthy Dalvin Cook is I want to see the ability to throw more downfield. I think the reason we haven't seen this team throw downfield as often is because without Dalvin Cook, they really seem to be using Diggs as their gadget player, their guy around the line of scrimmage, their guy on sweeps and screens, because they want to get the ball in their playmakers' hands, the guys that they know that can make people miss, break tackles, do all that. That's what that's. And without Dalvin Cook, the next best option, or you can call him your best option, but your next best option is Stephon Diggs. So you saw them do that to help create and generate some more plays in the quick game, especially when the run game wasn't performing as well. So I want to see them get back to that, using Dalvin Cook in more varieties. And we saw a little bit of it against Detroit, but obviously Diggs wasn't there. So I think getting Diggs and Cook both healthy, it opens up for everybody. It allows you to be a little bit more creative with everything. And then to touch on it, I know we've talked a little bit about it, but it looks like Chad Beebe might get an opportunity to play a little bit more snaps. And we saw him play well against Detroit with Diggs out. But I think we might see him get some run on in three receiver sets. And, we know that Adam Thielen has the ability to play on the outside. And this could come in handy on that, because Beebe is a really good mismatch against linebackers and possibly safeties. I know it's still early, but I think we know that Adam Thielen can run on the outside. And Laquon Treadwell has he's done better against press coverage. He's done better against man coverage as of late. You've seen him get more free releases and all that, which has been a positive sign. But I think Beebe just wins in a different way. He just brings something that we haven't seen from a Vikings wide receiver in a while. And
the grit's
all there. And I know people don't like the comparisons, but I mean, at least these ones are fair. Chad Beebe is has that Wes Welker, that Julian Edelman. Like, it's the truth. That's just his style of play, and that's okay. But I think the Vikings didn't have that on this roster before Beebe came along. So I think now that just adds a different dimension that you can kind of get a little bit more creative with, and a little bit more rub routes, a little bit more opportunity to do some things to get guys into space. And I think with those three receivers, you could do a little bit more of that. So that's kind of what I want to see, and I just want to see this offensive line continue to develop. Some guys are banged up. Tom Compton still limited. my grammar is still limited. So, I just want to see if those guards can come back healthy and for this back stretch, because on Sunday, obviously I'm worried about Khalil Mack. Like, I think everybody's worried about Khalil Mack. I might be a little bit more worried about Akeem Hicks than I am Khalil Mack, because I think they can kind of provide a little bit more help on the edge than they might be able to on the inside in terms of that, especially if both of your starting guards are either hurt or just banged up in general. So
or just not good.
I think that's just what worries me a little bit.
Okay. Well, Miles, that's a perfect segue, because that's the next thing I wanted to ask y'all about. Prince, hop in here. The Vikings injury report is extensive, even coming out of the bye. Hopefully, as you know, the week moves along, some of these limiteds will turn to fulls, or maybe will be questionables, because those guys usually tend to play. But of all of the people who are listed on the injury report, I guess, who are you most worried about missing this game, and why?
I think it's challenging actually to pick one, because I want everyone on the offensive line to be healthy. I also want, some of our defensive guys to still be able to show up, because I do think that the Bears have the weapons to be able to do a lot of the things that they want to do. I've been saying for a while, I think having Anthony Barr back is still is the thing that I would like to see. But maybe we kind of point to Adam Thielen probably the most. Having Adam Thielen over the last few weeks has showed that, even when the offense is down, he can provide some of that spark on the offense, with a big play or whatever the case is. So I think without Adam Thielen, I get worried, as much as Diggs was already getting double teamed as it was. He was kind of that bright spot to be able to get us some of those mismatches, because he is better than any team's cornerback too. And he's better than a lot of teams' cornerback one. But with him out, obviously that means all the coverage gets rolled over to Diggs, like it's already been doing. And then you really have to ask yourself, who's going to be that third guy? I do like what Miles has said as far as, maybe that guy starts stepping up as far as Chad Beebe. Maybe he becomes more explosive out of the slot. Maybe Laquon Treadwell has a decent game with those two guys out and whatnot. So I guess I can't just point to one. I would definitely point to those two guys specifically, just because I think that they are, Adam Thielen obviously very important to the offense, but I still think that Anthony Barr is really integral to this defense, despite what some people might think. I think there's some wrinkles and things that Zimmer has wanted to do on the defensive side of the ball that, without Anthony Barr, he can't, just because there's another edge rusher you could potentially have, as well as another guy with just freakish athleticism that you can use to create, kind of more of the exotic type blitz packages. But those are the two guys that I think I'm the most worried about. More specifically on the offense, I would say Adam Thielen.
All right. So JR, Miles, we are getting close to time for us to go and get our guests. But JR, from your perspective, looking at the injury report, which people still being on there at this point are the most concerning for you?
Yeah, I agree with Prince. I will go with Adam Thielen and Anthony Barr. I think this is a game where they need Anthony Barr, because the Bears are so reliant upon their two-headed monster in the backfield and Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. They use Tariq Cohen all over the place, and I think Anthony Barr's length and athleticism could give him some issues. And I don't think he's necessarily going to slow down Cohen, but just how fast and quick twitch he is, I think Barr is the perfect guy to help limit him as far as running sideline to sideline with him and trying to contain him. Now, I don't think they're ever going to match him up in man-to-man with Barr and Cohen, because he definitely would be at a disadvantage in that situation. But as far as zone coverages and when they try to throw those quick screens to him into the boundary or even to the field, sometimes they do that with him, those tunnel screens or even those quick slip screens out of the backfield. I think Anthony Barr's athleticism could really help in that situation. And Adam Thielen, of course, anytime he's on the field, he's a difference maker in the slot. Now, their slot cornerback, Bryce Callahan, is a really good player. He's having a really good year, but I think Adam Thielen could take some things and use against him. And I think he definitely will have the advantage in that matchup.
Miles, are we making it a clean sweep? Are you going with Barr and Thielen, or is there anyone else that you also have that's making you a little nervous?
I mean, not that I'm not nervous that Barr, you know, might not come back or that we don't need him, but I think in terms of integral parts of this team right now, I think obviously Xavier Rhodes, I think he'll be back, but you know, just seeing him on injury reports never, you know, a good thing. And then to me, it's all the guys on the offense. I mean, David, besides Adam Thielen, we know how important Adam Thielen is to this offense. But David Morgan, I mean, what he's done to help this team in terms of the run game and just in pass blocking as well. I mean, what he's done off the edge to help some of those guys. I think he's a sneaky important part of this offense that I just don't think it's just not things that show up in the stat sheet, kind of like an offensive lineman, that he's kind of been an extension of that I think they're really going to miss. And I don't think he's going to be able to make it back this week. It sounds like he'll be out for a little while, but he's one. And then both, like I said earlier, both the guards, I think you can get away with, you know, one of them being hurt, but I think if you were to lose both Compton and Rummers this week, I think that'd be really tough because you really hit your depth. And I think against this defensive line and this defensive front seven, that's going to be really important this week to have those guys back and healthy. So that's my biggest worry is the offense. Cause we've seen this team and this defense adjust when a couple of guys are out here and there, because we know Zimmer's brought in guys to help take advantage. You know, they have Anthony Harris or George Iloka or Jayron Kearse that can play safety with Andrew Sandejo. How they have Eric Wilson and Ben Gideon who can play linebacker with Anthony Barr out. And those guys know the defense inside and out. But then when you look at the offensive line, it's already banged up and hurt as it is. But then, you know, you're already down Compton, so you had Danny Isadora step in. You might have to have Brett Jones step in for, you know, Mike Remmers. So there's a lot of fluctuation there. You just want to get that offensive line healthy so, you know, you can get all five guys back healthy and they can, you know, play together and kind of get some of that cohesiveness. So for me, it's the offense that I want to see get healthy, and that's where I'm the most worried.
Okay. Those are all very good choices, and we're going to wrap up this segment of the show and take a quick pause here while we go in and get our guest on the line. So hang with us. All right, and the timing was perfect on that one. We went to get our guest, and he appeared. So we're going to jump right into this this Bears game preview with Aaron Lemming. Aaron and I, we'll get things started here with a, you know, softball warm-up question for you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where our listeners can find your work.
Well, I'm Aaron Lemming. I write for three different places, BearReport.com, which is a subsidy of Scout, then also Windy City Gridiron, which is part of SB Nation, and then also the Blitz Network, which I'm helping out with a few buddies trying to get that website started. So you can find me at Aaron Lemming, 1M, NFL, on Twitter. So that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we follow from a distance. You know, this is one of those rare occasions where we're playing – you know, against the team that you cover. But right now we're all on the same team cheering against the Packers. So that's a good thing for tonight while we're recording. But can you tell us a little bit about how things are going with the Bears season to date and kind of how the fan base is taking, I guess, the success, how are things going in Chicago? And is this expected or is this unexpected in terms of how well they're doing right now?
You know, that's a fun question because it's, man, if you're involved with Bears Twitter at all, it's kind of a whirlwind. It's kind of a double-edged sword type of thing. So I mean, I think in terms of expectations, I think they're definitely exceeding right now. I mean, this is a 5-11 team last year. They had a lot of struggles. There was a lot of questions about Trubisky. There definitely still is, don't get me wrong on that, but I think he's taken a big step forward so far this year. But I mean, they're sitting 6-3 right now in first place, depending on what happens on Sunday night. I mean, that's going to kind of be the flip there. But overall, I think the overall impression has been good. But unfortunately, with most Bears fans, they've been let down a lot. I mean, and going back to 2013, they had a chance to get in the playoffs, lost to the Packers in week 17. Going back to 2012, they basically blew a 7-1 start and playoffs, even though they're 10-6 and Lovie Smith got fired. But there's just – there's so many things that have gone wrong for them, really, over the last, like, 8 years. So it's pretty understandable. Everybody's kind of cautiously optimistic. And I think really the big thing right now is just looking and saying, okay, this team is 6-3. They've had some – I would say some impressive wins just in terms of blowouts. But at the same time, they still haven't beat a team over 500. So this is going to be a big test for the Bears on Sunday. But, I mean, that's just kind of the overall feelings with the fans right now and where everything's kind of at.
Yeah, man, that is that's awesome. And I guess the one question I have, and I know I'm kind of jumping, you know, off script a little bit on this one here, but there was some talk early in the season, and maybe Vikings Twitter's own Arif Hassan was responsible for that. But what is this that I hear about, you know, Mitch Trubisky not being able to throw left? Is that actually a thing, or is that just something that, you know, is a Vikings Twitter joke that ended up taking off?
As soon as you mentioned Arif, it was like, oh, I know exactly where you're going with this one. It was a thing. I mean, when you actually look at his passing charts going back, especially last year, I mean, it definitely was. And I think the big reason for that, especially in John Fox's offense, if you can really call it an offense, was the fact that they rolled him out a lot. And usually in those situations, he was left with the situation you were throwing on the side of the field that he rolled off onto, or throwing across the field, which was usually to the side that everybody didn't think he could throw to. So this year, it's definitely been different. Offense has been a lot more spread out. Matt Nagy's done a great job with this offense, all things considered. So I definitely think that that's definitely kind of killed. I think really the only knock right now, or I shouldn't say the only knock, but the big knock with Trubisky is the fact that he's been very, very inconsistent downfield. There's times when he hits guys and everything's good, especially Taylor Gabriel. And then there's other times where he'll go on a 2 or 3 game stretch where he's just highly inconsistent downfield and he's missing most of his throws. But as far as the throwing left thing, not really a thing anymore.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, Aaron, thank you for coming on. Well, I mean, one thing that probably was one of the biggest talks of this season was obviously the Khalil Mack trade coming to the Bears, and he's been nothing but dynamic ever since he's come to the Bears. You know, talk about that trade and how it's kind of affected the Bears season thus far.
Well, I think it was big. I mean, you look at going into the season for the Bears, one of the big questions was their defense. And it really wasn't so much that, oh, you know, they're going to have a bad defense, whatever it may be. But edge rusher has been a question for them for quite a while now. Even going back to last year, look at what they had. They had often injured guys like Willie Young, Pernell McPhee. It was just, I mean, they even signed Lamar Houston off the street after cutting him before week one and brought him back, and he ended up having 4 sacks for him. And the thing is, they didn't really do much. They went out and they signed Aaron Lynch. It's like, okay, Aaron Lynch really hasn't been very good in his entire career, and, you know, especially over the last 3 years. So they drafted Kylie Fitz, and then in the 6th round, you're kind of wondering, all right, this is going to be an issue. Don't really know what you're going to get from Leonard Floyd. And all of a sudden they go out and they make a move for Khalil Mack. And it's like the entire landscape changed, and it changed on a few different areas, because you look at the Bears cap space right now, or more the point going in that move, and they had a lot of flexibility because they have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, you know, so they have that flexibility. They went out and they spent big in free agency, but all of a sudden you trade 2 first-round picks and among other picks, and then you give Khalil Mack $23.5 million a year, and you're looking at a much more crunched cap issue there, and situations where it's like, you know, Ryan Pace better be right. And I think so far he has been, but it's changed everything, because the Bears got a decent amount of sacks last year, but the problem was that they weren't consistently getting pressure. They were one of, I think they were in the bottom 10 in overall pressure rate last year. So, I mean, as you guys know, getting sacks is one thing, but in terms of overall pressure, when your sacks are kind of an anomaly versus getting constant pressure, it's an issue. So it was a big move, and I think it really helped kind of tie things together within that defense.
Aaron, JR here. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm really happy to be on with you guys.
So I'm our resident quarterback guy, and I watch quarterbacks from afar around the league, and I've really been fascinated with Trubisky this year and the steps in his development that he's taken. And what you notice around the league, especially from big media, is that he really doesn't get the due credit that he deserves this year, in my opinion. And a lot of people like to bring up the Bucs game from a couple weeks ago, saying that, oh, Nagy is just scheming a lot of wide-open throws for him. But you go back and watch him against the Detroit Lions last week, and he was really making some impressive tight window throws So I just want to get your opinion about his development and just his expectations around the fan base so far. And what's the feeling about his development to this point?
Well, it's a really good question because, especially in Chicago, I mean, Trubisky's been the talk, whether it's been good or bad. And, I mean, let's face it, looking at his first three games, I mean, you look at the Packers game and he had those first two scripted drives where he looked great. And everybody's thinking, all right, well, this is really good. You know, this is a whole new thing. And he fell off. And then Seattle was so-so. His game in Arizona was absolutely awful. I was actually at that game. And it was interesting because for the first time with a lot of people, you started seeing a lot, you know, some doubt creep in, like maybe this guy really just isn't it. And all of a sudden the Tampa Bay game happens. Granted, it was against a bad defense. There's no denying that, but something clicked. And ever since that point, his last six games have been, I mean, he's had up and down moments and he's going to, because he's a young guy, but you're seeing a lot more confidence from him. And one of the big things I go back and I point to, you look at him in week one where, in like I said, first few drives are good. Outside of that, he started getting pressure. And the first thing he wanted to do is he dropped his eyes and he started running. And you started seeing him make bad decisions. He wasn't setting his feet. Footwork still somewhat of an issue, especially at times. But the see over the last few weeks that's been very impressive is he's able to stand in the pocket. He's not dropping his eyes. He's not trying to, you know, he's not trying to run downfield. He's not trying to make something happen with his feet instead of going through his progressions. He's getting through all of his progressions, which is also a big thing. But I think confidence is a real big factor for him right now because he's actually able, like you said, you know, to start making these tight window throws, you know, to really be able to go through his progressions and find the right receiver. I mean, there's been a few different plays where he's been patient in the pocket. He's actually gone through his progressions, his first, second, and come on to his third read, and he's hitting them. I mean, so it's a thing right now where he's making a lot of strides. I went back, I compared week one and two to what he's done the last few weeks. I mean, the overall progression of what he was to what he is right now, just from this season alone, has been pretty incredible. Now, with that being said, obviously the big thing with him is kind of inconsistency. And, you know, for as cool as it was to see him do what he did against Tampa Bay and even the Lions this last week, the Lions were without Darius Slay. The Lions don't really have a good defense. So I think the big thing for a lot of Bears fans right now is they need to see how he's going to progress against a good defense. Like the Vikings, they played some pretty good defenses. I mean, the Bills are not a good team, but they have a good defense. The Jets have a pretty good defense. The same thing with the Patriots. And he was up and down in those games. So it's really about getting, I would say, more of he has usually good first quarter, usually a pretty good second quarter, and usually about the third quarter is when he starts tripping up. And it's at those moments where you see if he can get out of that funk within a series or two, if that's something that's going to plague him throughout the rest of the game. And one of the big things that he's been progressing with is the fact that he's not letting that affect him. After one or two bad series, he comes back and he finishes game strong, even if he makes a mistake.
Yeah, that's great, Aaron. And talking about Mitchell Trubisky, you kind of can't overlook the fact that the major overhaul they had at the skill position, in terms of, you know, what we saw from them last season, it was pretty abysmal, probably one of the worst in the league. And then you turn around and make some big offseason splashes. Can you kind of just touch on, you know, those major passing additions that you guys made? Because I think that's really been, obviously the Khalil Mack thing was huge, but I think a lot of those additions on offense have really changed the landscape of this whole team.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because that was a big thing last year, and it's kind of funny because I've noticed a few Lombardi in particular, which Bears fans have not been a fan of the last few weeks, but one of the big things that he's getting knocked for right now is the fact that Nagy is doing an extremely good job of scheming receivers open and putting Trubisky in good positions. And the other thing is that the Bears aren't dropping passes. And that's something that the Bears had massive issues with last year. I mean, their leading receiver was Kendall Wright, who last time I checked, I don't think he's on an NFL roster. I mean, as Vikings guys, you guys know that because, I mean, he was there through training camp and didn't even make it out. So with Kendall leading receiver, then you had Dontrell Inman. I think he just signed a few weeks ago. He didn't even go through training camp with the team and then started the season off, you know, not even on a team. You look at what they had versus what they have now. They got Allen Robinson, who was hurt for a few games, but he, I mean, he had a big game this last week. Anthony Miller's finally starting to come on. That's been kind of interesting because I was a big fan of Anthony Miller coming out of the draft out of Memphis, but the issue in the beginning of the year was he couldn't, him and Trubisky just could not get on the same page. I don't know what it was. Trubisky was constantly overthrowing him, or Miller was running the wrong route, whatever it is, but they're finally getting that connection. Taylor Gabriel has been a very, very pleasant surprise. I thought, you know, well, on the surface, I didn't really think that was a great signing for the money, but he's been their deep threat. He's actually been an excellent route runner, which somewhat surprised me. And they've been mainly using him outside. But I think the biggest addition that they've made and that really fits their offense is Trey Burton, the tight end coming from Philadelphia. I mean, he was never a number one. He really wasn't ever a number two, and they bring him in and he's done a great job on the Y. So I think when you mix all those things together, plus Tariq Cohen's still there, I'm not going to say that they're using him in quite the Tyreek Hill role that maybe some people are blowing it into, because he's a good player. He's not that good of a player, and he doesn't have that kind of speed, but they have so many weapons right now that you're seeing that there's been five different pass catchers that the Bears have had so far this year that have had 100-yard games, and they have four different pass catchers right now that have over 400 yards, and everything's being distributed pretty evenly, almost kind of like the Eagles last year, where you saw that the Eagles had a high output on offense, but you didn't really have a ton of, you know, 30. Well, you didn't. I don't think they even had a 1,000-yard receiver. I think their highest receiver was either Ertz or Jeffrey, but I don't think they were over 1,000 yards. And that's kind of what we're seeing this year from the Bears. A lot of options, and Trubisky's not locking on to one guy, which is good.
All right. Well, with all of that, there seems to be a lot to be happy about if you're a Bears fan. From your perspective, what are the keys to victory for the Bears in this game? Because it looks, at least on paper, like it should be a very competitive matchup. What are you looking to see, I guess, for the Bears to pull this one out?
Well, I think there's two. I think you got to look at, you know, both sides of the ball for the Bears. I think the biggest one offensively is, I mean, the Vikings have a very good defense. I know they got off to a little bit of a slow start. There was a lot of issues there in terms of Everson Griffin, you know, all the different stuff that's going on. And I think that's sometimes stuff that the Bears, you know, Bears fans overlook a little bit. But like I said, I mean, you know, talking about Trubisky, one of the things that he has to do is he has to come out and he has to play big against a good defense. And I think this is going to be a very big key for him, because when the Bears have lost a turnover battle, they usually aren't going to win the game. They have the second highest turnover differential in the league right now. So, I mean, that's definitely a big key offensively. I think that's going to be simply keeping him protected, because their run game just hasn't been consistent. I don't see that getting going this week. Defensively, I'm very curious to see the Bears have obviously had a good time with their defense this year, but my biggest curiosity is, how are the Bears DBs going to match up with the Vikings receivers? Because the Vikings have probably the best set of receivers in the league right now. And they do things very well. And I'm very curious to see, because Kyle Fuller had a slow start to the year. He's really picked it up. He's been playing really well. Prince of Mukamura, you know, he's kind of there. He's not bad, but I mean, he has his moments where he's not very good, but he's there. But Bryce Callahan's the big one for me. Bryce Callahan, you know, in the slot, and Adam Thielen. So I'm very curious to see how they're going to be able to do against probably the best set of receivers that they've seen this year. So those are really my keys. I mean, the Bears secondary, and then really Trubisky on the offensive side. I mean, can he step up and actually play big in a big situation?
All right. And I guess from you mentioned the Bears secondary. Are there any matchups on the other side that you feel like the Bears might be looking to exploit when you look at this Vikings defense?
I think when at least from what I see, I think the Bears would be wise to use Robinson a lot more in the slot. And that's something that they've been doing with pretty good success. Really, the only guy that hasn't been playing for them in the slot a lot has been Taylor Gabriel. He's been mainly outside. So I think exploiting that situation with Mackenzie Alexander a little bit, is, at least in my mind, is going to be something key for them. It's been something that they've been attacking a lot, whether it be Anthony Miller or Allen Robinson, but they've got to get the passing game going early. Cause like I said, I mean, their running game has not been good all year this year, and I can't see it getting going this week.
All right. Last thing we need to get from you before we let you get out of here is we need a bold prediction for the game and your final score prediction.
Oh, man, bold prediction. Well, I'm going to say that, oh, man, I guess this is bold because I'm just going to have to drink the Trubisky Kool-Aid here, but I'm just going to say that Trubisky didn't have a turnover. I think that's pretty bold considering what he's done this year, especially against good defenses. As far as a score prediction goes, I'm going to stick with this even though I'm not overly confident. I think the Vikings and the Bears are going to split. I also admittedly have said multiple times, I think the Vikings have a better team, and I think they're about to get going. With that being said, I mean, Bears are 8-2 in the last 10 meetings at Soldier Field, and I think that they have just enough, and they have just enough momentum right now to be able to get it done. I think it's going to be 27-23, but I do think the Vikings are going to take that last matchup in Week 17.
All right. Well, can't say I love the score prediction, but everything else was great, Aaron. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really do appreciate it.
Awesome. Have a good one, man.
All right, you too.
All right, gentlemen. Well, great stuff from Aaron. And, we'll just keep this thing moving along. JR, I'm going to go right to you here. You know, you heard what Aaron had to say about the matchup from the perspective of the Bears. What are you looking to see from a Vikings perspective as we go into this game? For the Vikings to get the victory versus, you know, the other way around.
Oh, this is a tough matchup, man. This game really scares me because the Bears look really good on film on both sides of the ball. Just starting offensively, they're very explosive. This is a very different team than what we saw a year ago. Mitchell Trubisky is a completely different quarterback. Matt Nagy is doing a hell of a job of scheming guys open to make throws very easy on him and make reads very easy on him. And that's not taking anything away from him because he's made some impressive throws this year, but he's not putting a lot of stress on Mitchell Trubisky to throw in tight windows because he's attacking every single level of the field with all of these weapons that they do have, and he's experimenting with guys everywhere. The only guy that's been position specific or a certain area specific has been Anthony Miller. He's only been their slot guy for the most part, but every other person on the roster or all the weapons that surrounds Trubisky has been playing every single different spot. Tariq Cohen has been playing in the slot in the backfield, and sometimes they split him out wide, and they do the same thing with Allen Robinson as well. They experimented with him in the slot out of empty formation last week. He ended up scoring a touchdown off of it. So he's doing a really good job of placing guys all over different positions in order to help them succeed, especially Trubisky. The offensive line is playing really well right now. And, I mean, I'm really terrified of what this offense can do against our defense, especially with Xavier Rhodes banged up. But it's going to be a good matchup, their offense against our defense. I think Matt Nagy versus Mike Zimmer is going to be a very interesting chess match throughout the night. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And on the flip side, I think it's all about the offensive line in this game and how they limit Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is going to line up over Brian O'Neill, and, of course, that should give us nightmares. So we'll see how that does go. How can they limit Khalil Mack? I think they can do it by a lot of tight end attack sets, leaving Kyle Rudolph in. Unfortunately, David Morgan won't be playing in this game. This is the one game really where they really do need him because Brian O'Neill is going to need some help. They can't leave him on an island for an extended period of time because that's just asking for a disaster to happen, just leaving him one-on-one with Khalil Mack. And also they can use the running back to chip in certain situations as well. And I think the running backs are going to be a big part of this game plan as well. And if you go back and watch the Bears against the Patriots, James White had a lot of success against them. So I expect Dalvin Cook to be a heavy part of this game plan, not only as a rusher, but a receiver out of the backfield as well. I think they can exploit their linebackers against Dalvin Cook. Roquan Smith, I have a lot of respect for him, but he still is very young and he still looks lost out there from time to time. And Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels did a really good job of matching up James White against him in space, and they were able to exploit that matchup. So I think this is a very interesting matchup, and a lot of people, especially the big media, are trying to hype it up as a changing of the guard matchup, and this is where the game where the Chicago Bears has a chance to officially take over the NFC North, and this is the huge game for the Vikings. I think this is by far the biggest game of the year for them.
Okay. So, Miles, JR gave us an overview. From your perspective, I would like to know for both teams, Vikings, what offensive mismatches would you like to see the Vikings really exploit in this game? And then the flip of that is, what defensive mismatches are you worried about the Bears exploiting in this game?
Well, I think Aaron touched on it was the fact that you could mismatch Adam Thielen on Bryce Callahan. I think that's a big one because I think if you keep Diggs on the outside, it's going to be Kyle Fuller on him, and Kyle Fuller's played well. I'm not saying you completely avoid throwing that direction, but I think in terms of finding that correct mismatch, I think getting Adam Thielen on someone like Bryce Callahan is there's more chance for an opportunity to win there. I think it's a better mismatch or you could look at, you know, depending on how they want to move people around, Dalvin Cook against some of the linebackers. I know the linebackers have been pretty good against against running backs and against the pass this season for them. But I think the way the different things that Dalvin Cook can do, I think should if they can get creative enough, should create a really good mismatch for them. Otherwise, flip it around. I think a mismatch that worries me the most would be the obvious one is Tariq Cohen, just because we've seen these linebackers struggle against quick twitch running backs in the pass game. And then Trey Burton would be the other one for me. He's a guy that – actually, no, I'm going to flip that. I'm not him. I'm going to say it's going to be their rookie Anthony Miller. I just don't – I'm not sure how they're going to move him around, but I think they've done a really good job of scheming some of these guys, where if – you know, however they move these guys around, he might find that mismatch against Mackenzie Alexander, which I'm not saying Mackenzie's played well as of late, but if you're looking at any of the guys that, you know, that are susceptible to big plays, I think he gives it up a little bit more than a guy like Trey Wayne. So that'd be another one that I worry about. And then I do think Trey Burton would be another guy that worries me a little bit, but I think if you can keep a guy like Jayron Kearse on him a little bit, I think that could help.
Okay, and then Saxy Prince, we're going to go the other way on this one. From your perspective on the Vikings, who is the player on defense that you expect to blow this game up for Chicago? And then, you know, vice versa. I mean, I feel like, you know, can I say other than Khalil Mack for Chicago going the other way, who's the player defensively that you're most concerned about blowing the game up for the Vikings?
I think it's been a while. You know, it's taken him a few weeks to really truly get back. But I think Everson Griffin is really going to have a game that's going to make it very frustrating for the Bears offensive line. I know that, you know, his presence has definitely helped the interior defensive lineman, as well as Danielle Hunter continues with his sack streak. But I think this is going to be a game where he's going to get home a few times. Not to say that that's my bold prediction, but I just felt like he has a game that's been due, you know, for him to really that welcome back game. And I feel like this is going to be the game where he gets back. And then you ask on the Bears side of the ball, or.
Yeah. Which defensive player for the Bears other than the Khalil Mack are you most worried about?
Yeah. I think we've talked about it enough times. I think Keem Hicks is going to be difficult to have to deal with. I'm a little bit worried about our interior, especially if we have, you know, if Tom Cotton's out, if Remmers is out. I mean, if we have multiple interior offensive linemen that are gone, I think he's going to make life a little bit difficult. And I think that's actually going to contribute to my bold prediction for this game. But yeah, I am worried about how this interior is going to do, and I think it's going to make it a little bit more difficult. So, you know, I would expect the Vikings to try to have a few trap plays, you know, to try to get Dalvin Cook some space. But, you know, we'll see. If we have two offensive line down, it's going to be a long game. I think Miles had said that earlier as well, too. So those are kind of both my guys on both sides of the ball.
All right, then. Well, you teased it, Foe. Go ahead and hit us up. Bold prediction, score prediction. What you got for me, man?
I think this is going to be a really low-scoring game. I think it's going to be an unusual game to the tune of 18-16. I am predicting 5 turnovers between both quarterbacks.
Excuse me, sir. I need a winner, though. 18-16.
The Vikings. The Vikings are going to win.
All right, there we go.
The Vikings are going to win, but I'm predicting 5 turnovers between these two quarterbacks. Not because they're playing poorly per se, but I just think that I think this is two really great defenses that are going to be playing there, and I think they're going to show why these are probably one of the two top two defenses in the league. So yeah.
So not between the two teams, but between the two quarterbacks.
I'm sorry.
Are you saying 5 turnovers between the two teams or between the two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it's going to be quarterbacks that are going to be the, so like fumbles and or interceptions.
Lord, okay. Must be some ugly.
It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a really ugly game.
Okay. All right. Miles, bold prediction, score prediction.
I'm going to go 23-20 Vikings. And I think my bold prediction is going to be Dalvin Cook has 150 plus all-purpose yards.
Goodness, Miles. I'm proud of you.
So am I.
Well, I don't know what else to think of. So, or Ryan O'Neal doesn't give up a sack.
That's too, how are you just going to take more than one, Miles?
Sorry, were you going to use that one?
So light-skinned today. My JR. Bad.
Just today?
I'm really not sorry though.
He's really not sorry. JR, well, you know, Miles stole yours. Bold prediction, score prediction. What you got, man?
It's gonna be cold. Cold games mean it's gonna be low scoring and a heavy dose of running, most likely. So I'm gonna go 17-13. Vikings win. Bold prediction, I think
Latavius. Did JR say it was gonna be cold?
Yeah. Chicago. Man, it's gonna be like 20 some degrees. That's cold to me.
That's not bad.
Leave the southern boy alone.
Okay? I mean, that's summer weather, JR. What you trying to?
Okay.
When you're running,
not for us. It's not Prince. Let's not go that far.
But colliding and hitting people in 20 degree weather that ain't warm. It's gonna wear on your body. Trust me. So I'm gonna go Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook combined for 200 rushing yards. That's my bold prediction.
Right. And see, I'm gonna go the other way because everyone feels like it's gonna be a sloppy, ugly game played on the ground. And I feel like Kirk Cousins is gonna show out on Sunday Night Football, and Kirk is gonna have over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game, but the Vikings are going to lose 22-21.
All them yards, all the
hey,
all them yards. And
only 3 touchdowns. They can't get any field goals or nothing, huh?
Sometimes it bees like that, you know. You trust our field goal kicking?
Look at Tampa Bay. 3 points.
Kirk is gonna go full Fitzpatrick. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. All right. Well, before we get this thing wrapped up here, JR, anything we should be on the lookout for you? I know that you mentioned you were starting to get in the draft mode a little bit there. You gonna be dropping any gems on the timeline anytime soon?
Just a couple clips here and there of guys that I'm looking at. I've been going over some wide receivers here over the past few days. I know Hakeem Butler from Iowa State is a guy that I've taken a look at, and Nakiel Harry from Arizona State is another guy that I've been watching. So just be on the lookout for draft notes and just little videos that I drop on the timeline.
Okay, and were you ever able to mail that gentleman the draft guide?
I was not. I'll make sure to do that.
Okay, yeah, make sure that you follow back up so that you can get him that draft guide. Miles, nah, you too busy. Let me just go ahead and skip you. Saxy Prince, what's going on, man? Anything we should be looking for?
You know, maybe after this game. I know I've been teasing a Danielle Hunter piece, just getting a little bit more GIFs and stuff that I can kind of post along with the article and whatnot. But I'm excited about it because I think he's been playing phenomenally.
All right, and I guess the last question before I get all y'all out of here is, what night of next week are you going to see Creed 2?
I mean, we got it, right?
I mean, I mean, Prince, I would have expected you already had your tickets.
Prince already saw it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Saxy Prince, you seen it on open night, or...
Oh, yeah, I don't know that me and Michael B. Jordan are, you know, on the same, I mean, you know, same circles and stuff.
That's how you get yourself into the next movie. I understand.
Yeah, I saw the movie Black Panther 9 times. You know, we met up on the 9th time, and he was like, you know, you're just part of the crew now. And I'm like, all right, that's fine with me. So just don't be surprised if you see me in the next movie somewhere.
I mean, you already showed us that one clip of a person who could have been you in the background of that one scene from which one of those movies was it? Was it Avengers? Saxy Prince, which one of the movies were you cut out of?
Oh, you're talking about Captain America Civil War.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun time. I had a lot of fun there.
You were African 17 in that one.
African 17. Yeah, whereas typically I'm African 19.
Yeah, you're moving up. You're moving up.
ATL is fun. I had a lot of time. A lot of fun.
That's a conversation for another podcast. So I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this one on up right now. So listeners, as always, thank you for sticking with us. JR, Miles, Yinka, thanks for recording this evening. Special shout out to our guests. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, Aaron Lemming NFL. And yeah, that's it. That's all. We will talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.